Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name's Dusty Slay, and I'm your host. Welcome. I know I always have a lot of banging around with the microphone when I get started, but this is what's happening lately. Now that I video the podcast, I start recording, and then I go, oh, the mic stands in my face every time, so I'm like trying to adjust it so it's not in my face, but I'm trying to make less noise at the beginning of the podcast, like I don't do this every time, every week for, you know, years. I mean, I know I skip some time here and there, but I really started this podcast, I think, in 2017. I mean, I've moved. I was living in Hendersonville when I started it. Then I moved to the West Side. Then I moved to Hermitage, and then I moved to where I'm at now, and that's four moves. A lot has gone on since I started this podcast. In fact, sometimes people say they go back to the beginning. I don't know if episode one and two is actually there. I've tried to go back and check. It feels like episode two actually got logged in first, and then there's episode one. I don't know how far it actually goes back, but a lot has gone on since I've been recording this podcast. It's a real journal of my life. I mean, when I started this podcast, I was just beginning to headline clubs, but I was, doing very, very well as a comic. I think I had not done any late night yet. I had not done any late night. I was married already. Me and Hannah were already married, but I've ruptured my appendix. I've had two kids. I've built quite a career since I've started doing this podcast, and that's pretty awesome. I want to say this right off. I saw a comment about this. My last podcast, I talked about how people always say they think it's the end of the world because everything is so bad. And I said, I think it's going to get a lot worse than this. And I referenced how things were going well for me. And someone commented, they said, you sound like you're saying because things are good for you, then everything is okay. And if I sounded like that, I do apologize, because that's not how I was trying to sound. I guess what I was saying was, I just think when we think end of the world, I feel like there's stuff in Revelation where they talk about, Christians getting their heads chopped off and stuff like that. And maybe that is happening in other countries. But I just feel like we're going to see it getting much, much worse. I recorded a podcast on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, there was a murder, a very public murder that I wish I didn't see. I mean, I've seen some pretty bad stuff online. I've been online for a long time, and I've seen some pretty bad things. But I wish I didn't see that. And I don't know. I don't really want to get too much into it. But, I'm talking about Charlie Kirk. And because I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about him, that I don't want to get too into it. But I believe he was a Christian man. And when I saw that video, I really felt a great deal of sadness. So much so that I wasn't going to release the podcast, but I already scheduled it, and then I forgot. I just forgot to change it, so it just came on out, and I was like, you know what? Maybe people do need to, take, and I don't want to take a lot of time about it because I do want people to not have to think about that. But it just made me feel very sad. And then when the report came that he died, I just went outside and sat for a while. I just didn't know what to say or think, or, and it's very sad. And then it led me to make a post about Jesus on social media, on X. I never do that. I talk about it on this podcast, but I never really post about it. But it just seemed like people were getting fired up. Some people seemed like they were ready for war. Some people were making jokes about it. And I just thought, you know, what we all need, what we always need, but in times like this, I mean, what we need is Jesus, you know, just to take a step back and go, you know, we were told that things would get really bad, and I have a lot of thoughts about what I think went on in that incident, but I will not go into it. I wish I could, but I now post on YouTube, so I don't know what's allowed. But I just want to say that I did feel very sad. And I'm sure a lot of you did too. There are probably some people that listen to this podcast that were excited about it and they hate that I'm talking about it. But I just want to say, I'm not excited when I see anyone die. I've said this before, I think on this podcast, but I don't know what year it was, but when they killed Osama bin Laden, allegedly, I was living in Charleston, and I was living downtown Charleston on the corner of Burns Lane and King Street. And King Street was a very popular street, lots of bars. And this was at night. And I don't know if I'd quit drinking. I don't think so, because I don't remember what year it was. But I went down to the King Street station, which was a little convenience store just below my apartment. And I went down there, and as I got onto King Street, I just heard everybody cheering, and just like it was like everybody was so excited. And even though this guy was, you know, a bad guy and had done bad things, I still felt weird about celebrating his death. You know, I'm not into that. I'm not into celebrating when people die. It makes me sad. And so, you know, that's just how I feel. I had watched, a few Charlie Kirk interviews. I've watched a lot of videos in that style. A lot of, like, people talking at colleges, campuses, and, you know, like getting the best of someone. That goes way back, way back. I've been watching videos like that. And I'm not really into it for the most part. But Charlie Kirk did it in a very good way. I really felt like he was actually trying to have conversations. And I've watched some at great length. And it felt like his overall message was not politics, but was Christianity. Which I like. Obviously, he was involved in politics. But I don't know. I you know, in a sea of not bad people, I feel like he was like a good person. And I don't know. I don't know at all. But I just know that it made me sad. I know a lot of people have strong feelings about him either way. But it just made me sad. And my cause is always for Jesus. I never want to take a stand for politicians because I think they're all lying. Actually, I saw a guy this weekend as I was driving. I didn't see a guy, but I saw a politician's sign. And this was in New York, not New York City, but New York State. This guy's last name, it just said for supervisor, so I don't even know what that is. But his last name was G-A-G. L-I-A-R-D-O, gag, liar, do. And I'm sure that's pronounced different. But I just thought, that's a crazy name. Because politicians, it feels like what they do is gag us so that we have no voice. and then they are liars, and then all we want them to do is to do something. And I just thought that was interesting. The guy I was riding with, I don't think he thought it was as interesting as me. But but that's it. That's all I want to say. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. But I felt like that was necessary to say because I felt a little disrespectful putting out the podcast last week. But I record this on Tuesday, as I'm doing today, and then it comes out on Thursday. I have, you know, the other podcast I do, Nate Land, comes out on Wednesdays, so I don't want to compete with that. And then I think there are some of my other friends on Tuesday. So I'm just, you know, there's only so many days, but I'm just trying not to compete and have conflicts. But I appreciate you guys. This weekend, let me go ahead and say, this coming up weekend, I'm going to be in Reading, PA, and then I'm going to be in Wilkes-Barre, PA. I'll be there. Those shows are going to be great. I've been doing an hour and a half. I've been talking about doing an hour 20. Now I'm up to an hour and a half. I don't know if I will continue to do that long or if it will get longer. I've even said now I like the idea that maybe I'll do 2 hours one day and not even have an opener. I know that doesn't make sense because, you know, having the opener gives people an opportunity to perform. But I don't know. I just like the idea of just doing a full-on show like that. I don't know. Who knows where it'll go? But I'll be there doing that, and I'm excited about it. I hope you guys will come. The show's good and fun, and I won't talk about any negativity, and my podcast will, or my live shows will never be a bummer. I'm so pumped about them. I love what's happening, and it's great. This past weekend, I went to Binghamton, New York, which I've never been to. Very nice place. I didn't get to see a lot of it because I was basically in and out. But everybody was very nice. The show was great. Tons of people reached out. I've not been doing meet and greets because it's really tiring. I do a long show, and then the meet and greet is pretty exhausting. But I had an unusual amount of people emailing me, sending messages to my website messenger, my inbox, asking if I was doing a meet and greet. And so I decided to do it, and I did it, and it was really great. I got a hat from someone that I wore on the Nate Land podcast yesterday. Appreciate them. This hat comes to me from my friend Maggie. Oh gosh, now I forgot her last name. I always forget everybody's name, but it happens all the time. But she just put out a Nate Land special. I don't know. I'll never find it. Maggie DiPaolo. Well, I just wanted to. Oh, Maggie Hughes DiPaolo. Yes. She gave me and my wife these hats. She'll be doing some shows with me later in the year in Elkhart, Indiana, and Chicago, Illinois. But this weekend, I was with Bill Lake. He's from Binghamton. Bill Lake's a very funny guy, lives in Binghamton. And we, we did that show. His mom came. I met his mom, and we had a lot of fun. And then the next day, we drove through New York State. We did all back roads through New York State up to Buffalo, New York. And we had a great show. I loved Buffalo. I'll tell you what, the people in Buffalo were so nice. I've only done one weekend in Buffalo. I've not spent a lot of time there. I got a lot of love for Buffalo because of Stu Barber, who I've talked about many times, played football at the Buffalo Bills, and it's made me love them. My friend Mark Schlahatka did improv with me at Theater 99. He's from Buffalo. My friend Danny Green, who I was roommates with, who now lives in L.A., who we did comedy together, he's from Buffalo. And I love those people, and it makes me love Buffalo. And I've only done one weekend there at Helium, and it was great, but people were so nice to me. This never happens to me, and this is why I bring it up. And honestly, it never happens to me, And it made me a little uncomfortable because it was so nice. But they cheered for me as I came out, which is very normal. And then I took the mic and I was like, all right. And then it wasn't even a we're having a good time. I was just kind of like, all right. And I got a second applause break from the audience. And I was like, wow. And it did add a tremendous amount of pressure. I was like, well, this show better be good now. But the show is good. There's some new, the whole thing is new from the special, but there's parts that I'm trying to iron out. But I'm up to an hour and a half, and hour and a half with no messing around. If I'm riffing, I'll end up cutting jokes so that it doesn't go on and on and on. But I've been riffing a lot too. And I love what's going on. All right, so I want to get into this. Somebody sent me this question today. My friend, one of my friends from back home, Brent Broadwater, sent me this question. And it's not an uncommon question, but it just got me thinking. And I thought, this is a conversation worth turning over to, you know, podcast listeners to see what you think, because I did not have a good answer. And maybe no one does. And I don't think there is a good answer. I don't think you can really, say, right? But this says, the question is, who is the greatest comedian of all time to you? That's what he said. Now, I know everybody these days likes to say Dave Chappelle is the greatest comedian of all time. Even Dave Chappelle likes to call himself that, which I feel like is a little cheesy, a little cringy. If you're calling yourself the greatest of all time, I feel like it almost disqualifies you. I think Dave Chappelle is great, very funny. And I think, and again, who cares what I think? But we're just talking here. We're just having a conversation. I think that if Dave Chappelle just did Killing Them Softly and then The Chappelle Show, and then we never saw him again, I think that alone could put him in at being one of the best of all time. I mean, The Chappelle Show was unbelievable. And Killing Them Softly was such a great special. And then up until that, I mean, you had Dave Chappelle, and he was in Con Air. He was in, obviously the weed movie. I never can think of it. I always think How High, which is a very funny, underrated weed movie. But you know the one. You know the weed movie that Dave Chappelle was in. And then there was Robin Hood, Men in Tights. There's several movies that he was in. It's like that, all of that would be enough to make him one of the greatest, if not the greatest. But I feel like his comeback and then pumping out just so many specials, it to me almost diminished it. It almost makes it like not one of the greatest of all, obviously one of the greatest of all time, but not the greatest. People love George Carlin. I like some George Carlin, but to be completely honest, never really found him all that laugh out loud funny. Obviously, he's great. Obviously, he's got some amazing stuff. But, you know, but when these kind of conversations come up, I feel like we always want to go like relatively new, relevant people. And I feel like it's kind of like the guitar conversation, right? It's like Dave Chappelle is like the Jimi Hendrix. We just say he's the greatest of all time, and then you're like, who else? I think Louis C.K. Had two great specials, and then I feel like, you know, I don't know, and his show, Louis, was very funny, but I feel like, obviously his stuff he had going on hurts him a bit, and then people don't pay attention to him as much. But I don't know. I feel like he's lost it in a way. Not lost it, but lost the greatest of all time kind of thing. It's like, you know, you have two good, you know, I feel like people get left out of the conversation, like Jeff Foxworthy, right? But I feel like a lot of these people, what they have is two great specials, and then, you know, they keep going, But what else is there, right? Jeff Foxworthy, one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan, but I feel like his first two albums are unbelievable. And then the rest is like, you know, obviously good, but not greatest of all time good. Rodney Dangerfield, No Respect. I mean, that album is unbelievable. If you've not listened to it, it's unbelievable. And then he had Caddyshack. He had Ladybugs. He had Back to School. All put him in some pretty high categories, but one special, does that really do it? I mean, I don't know. Steve Martin, look at all the movies that Steve Martin had that are very good. The Jerk, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, The Lonely Guy. I don't know. There's more that I'm leaving out. Roxanne. And then he had Let's Get Small, which is my favorite comedy album of all time. But then you have Comedy Is Not Pretty. Very funny. Wild and Crazy Guys. Honestly, I don't like that special. I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's because the audience is too like cheering him on in a way that I'm like, ah, it's too much. You know, I think, you know, not, you know, like when you look at, I'm not trying to put him in just because, you know, I do a podcast with him, but when you look at the catalog that Nate has, it's like, I mean, you gotta at least talk about him in the fact that he just keeps coming out with special after special, and he's having some of the biggest shows of anybody. I mean, it's unbelievable the tickets he sells. And, you know, I don't listen to a lot of comedy now because, I don't know, I feel like people's jokes get in my head and then, you know, and I just don't want to do that, so I don't listen to a lot of it. But, you know, Full-Time Magic, I think, was Yelled at by a Clown was Nate's first album. I listened to that a lot when I was, you know, first moving to Nashville. And great album, really great. John Mulaney had two really great specials back to back, not to mention the album that he had before then, where he had the jukebox thing at the Salt and Pepper Diner. If you've not heard that, that's unbelievable. John Mulaney, I think that's just an audio album with the Salt and Pepper Diner. And then you have New in Town and The Comeback Kid. Very good. But I don't think anybody would even consider him one of the greatest of all time, even though it's like, why not? Those are such good specials. Bill Burr had two or three really good ones before he just kind of became, you know, not really much to him, in my opinion. It's like you're yelling a lot, and then when you're kind of like, and now it feels like he's yelling at his old self. He's yelling at the kind of guy he used to be on his first two albums where we all really liked him. And I feel like people sometimes hang around too long and ruin their own legacy. That's what I think he's done. And these are, you know, these are just my thoughts here. I'm just sharing because I thought this was an interesting, it's not an interesting question in the fact that people always go, who's your favorite comic? But to say, who do I think is the greatest? You know, and they're even older comics. I think Gary Goldman had some really, really good jokes. I mean, his album where Grapefruits of Wrath was on, that's one of my favorite bits, his bit about grapes. But you know, he's now like depressed. Maybe he was always depressed, but he's really talking about it now. And it's like, I don't know, I'm not into it, but I like Gary. I like what he's doing with his style. He's now like a wearing a kind of a old timey suit, and he's got the Colonel Sanders look. I think that's fun. Somebody I think that no one would ever put in this category would be James Gregory, But James Gregory, to me, is definitely one of the funniest of all time. He didn't have the same kind of fame that a lot of people had, but, I mean, the man had, you know, so much material. They still put out jokes online from him from back in the day that I've never seen, and he just is. Even before he died, he did a dry bar special. And even though he was old, he looked terrible. He looked like death in the video. But he's so funny. He's still nailing it. His delivery is still on point. You got comics like Josh Blue that people would not even, they would never go, oh, Josh Blue, he's one of the best of all time. But you ever see Josh Blue live? He just destroys it. So I think it's too hard, and I just think it's too easy for people to go, yeah, Dave Chappelle, he's the best of all time. I mean, look at Chris Rock. Chris Rock had two, maybe three back-to-back specials when I was a kid that just blew me away. But now I think about Chris Rock and I go, yeah, who cares, right? It's like you really just don't care anymore. Eddie Murphy, what he did. I don't think anybody cares about old Eddie Murphy specials, but Eddie Murphy specials back then were unbelievable. And then he had, whatever the cop movie was that everybody loves. I loved it too. But my favorite of Eddie Murphy was The Golden Child. When I was a kid, man, I loved The Golden Child. And then he comes out with Nutty Professor and Coming to America. I mean, he just blows it away. So I don't know. I don't know that I have an answer. I think James Gregory is one of the greatest of all time. And, you know, that could be my most controversial answer. But he's really good. And there are so many great comics. And I think, you know, it's to your taste, but I would love to hear what people have to say. What are some of your thoughts on your greatest of all time? I had a dream last night. I don't remember it, but I do know that it woke me up. And in the dream, I was having an experience. And I thought, I got to talk about this on the podcast. In the dream, I was like, I wasn't talking about that I need to talk about this dream. In the dream, this was happening to me in real life. And I say, I got to talk about this on the podcast. This is a good subject. But I did not get up and write it down. I need to keep a notepad next to my table just for these kind of thoughts. I've had a few of these lately. And then I go, is it worth, like, do I value sleep more, or do I really want to write this idea down? And last night I chose the sleep, and I do every time I choose the sleep. But I feel like there was a guy who I guess was a basketball player, and I said something to him not pertaining to basketball. And he said, I guess you want to know about those guys I played with. And I was like, well, yeah, yeah. And he goes, yeah, we played together, but we were already on the court or something like that. And I go, well, that's weird. I thought it's weird that this guy would bring it up to me like he wanted to talk about it. Like he just felt like I was dying to talk about it. But then when I brought it up, when I go, all right, yeah, I'll hear about it. He just was like, nah, I don't want to, you know, basically, I don't want to talk about it. And I remember in the dream being like, I got to talk about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that sort of stuff means. Here's something. I watched Thunderbolts. I downloaded it on Disney Plus, and I watched it on the plane. And I got to say, I thought it was great. It gave me some real hope for the future of Marvel movies. I was like, this is good. And I watch a guy on the internet, on YouTube, and he gets fairly political, so I don't really want to share who it is, but I like to watch his comic book reviews, but I begin to believe that he's too negative, because this is what he does. He loves comic books. He's read the comic books, so he knows all these comic book characters. So when someone gets introduced, and they're not like obscure characters, like obscure to someone like me, that would recognize Thor, Superman, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Batman, I would recognize those characters, but a lot of side characters I'm not going to know. So they start introducing them, but then, you know, it'll be, you know, the character in the comic book will be a muscular man, and then when they put it in the movie, it'll be a small woman, right? And I admit, if I knew the characters and had a love for the characters, that would bother me too. But most of these characters, I don't know. I don't know anybody from Thunderbolts, including Bucky. I know Bucky from all the other movies that I've seen, but I don't know him from the comic books. I had no idea there was a Bucky character. So when I watch Thunderbolts, I'm being introduced to all these characters. And I really loved how it played out. I don't really like Julia Louis-Dreyfus or whatever in it. I don't know how to say her name. And it's not her fault. I can't watch anyone from Seinfeld without seeing those Seinfeld characters. And I'm sure that's been their problem the whole time. Also, they're all millionaires, I'm sure. So they don't appear in anything else. But like when George was in Shallow Hal, he was basically playing George. Kramer was in movies before Seinfeld, like Problem Child and then something else. But yeah, I just think Kramer's not allowed to be in anything anymore, which is fine. Jerry could never be in anything else. So it's hard for, I guess people liked her, Elaine, from Veep, which I didn't watch. But I guess if you watch Veep, I've seen a little bit of Veep. So I guess her character in Thunderbolts is basically the Veep character. But I can't stop seeing Elaine. So it's hard for me. But I really liked that movie. I mean, there was a scene where they're all driving, all the Thunderbolts are driving in an old car and they're being attacked. And then Bucky shows up on a motorcycle. And that's one of the coolest scenes in Marvel I've seen in a long time. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. All of that is what Captain America, Brave New World was missing. They are just trying to take themselves too seriously in that. And then what I liked about this other Thunderbolts movie, they had a big fight scene. I don't want to ruin it for you, but I am going to talk about it a little bit. So if you've not seen it, when they fight the bad guy, I mean, you know, they just lose, which I liked in a way. I was like, oh, yeah, you're just not going to be able to defeat this guy. And so other things took place, and it was a different style of movie, and it got a little deeper in a cool artsy way that I liked. I mean, I guess you could say got a little modern day, everybody's depressed and going through mental health issues. But in this movie, I didn't mind it. I was like, oh, I like this direction. I like how they took this. Now, they did totally, I have not seen Fantastic Four yet. Maybe when it hits Disney Plus, I'll watch it. And I've not seen the new Superman, which I would like to watch. But, you know, they set you up in the Thunderbolts to show that they're about to meet the Fantastic Four, which I guess I'm okay with. I was told that Pedro Pascal was like third or fourth choice for Mr. Fantastic in that movie, which I got to be honest. I'm a little sick of this guy, and I've not even seen a lot of his movies. I just get sick of a guy when everybody's like, oh, he's the best. He's so attractive. We love this guy. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not that into it. I don't get it. I'm not that into him. But I do want to see it. And then I watched, I'm not finished with it yet. It's actually a pretty long movie, but I started watching Iron Man 3 again. Great movie. I know I talked about it on this podcast once before with the Mandarin and all that, but I watching it, and this time around, I don't mind it. I don't mind the way they did the Mandarin character. I guess the first time I watched it, I was just so excited to see Ben Kingsley in this as this bad guy, and they really sold him as the bad guy, that when he turned out not to be that, I was like, oh, this is lame. But now this time going around, knowing that ahead of time, I didn't have that disappointment. So I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And I feel like I watched another movie, but maybe... Oh, you know what I started watching? I started watching the movie Signs with Mel Gibson, because someone had said that Signs was basically a movie about demons and not about aliens, even though they say aliens. And so I wanted to rewatch it. But it was pretty long, too, and I was in the airport, and I just was kind of like, I'm not really in movie mode. And I know that now I'm just on a long thing of talking about things I've watched. Another thing, I bought all of the old... I got really into The Incredible Hulk. My son's into him. My son loves Incredible Hulk. So I started, you know, I went back. I started showing him YouTube videos of Hulk fighting on, you know, in his movies. And... that's what got me into watching the Eric Bana Hulk. I was actually like, oh, this seems pretty cool. And then I ended up watching that movie. And then it just took me down this deep dive. And then I bought him a graphic novel. He's 2 years old. This is way above his comprehension. But I read this graphic novel about Gray Hulk. I read it to him one chapter at a time for bedtime. And I don't know that he was grasping it at all, but he seemed to enjoy it, and I enjoyed it. And it was like a really dark side, and it just seemed much deeper and darker and less comic book-like, right? It was just like, I don't know, it felt like they were telling a real story, a real kind of love story of, you know, Hulk hates Bruce Banner, but he is Bruce Banner. But he remembers Bruce Banner's girlfriend, Betty, even as the Hulk. It's like the only thing he remembers is Betty and then his other friend. And so he goes and basically kidnaps Betty, and he doesn't know why he's kidnapped her. He wants to be alone. He wants to be left alone, but Betty still brings him some comfort. And I'm just like, I don't know, it's just deep. And I just really enjoyed it. So I went and bought the old Hulk series that was on TV that I remember from a kid. It was reruns when I was watching it, but I do remember it, with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. And I watched one episode last night, a very long episode. But it was, you know, it's David Banner in this and not Bruce. But it's pretty interesting. I haven't got too far into it, but it's pretty interesting. I'm down for it. And I want to get more into it. I was hoping that it would be a little closer to the comics. But it's not really. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Oh, I also... before I move on to that, I wanted to say I'm coming to the Hartford Funny Bone on October 3rd and 4th. And Zach Townsend, who's opening for me, did get his own headlining night there. So I think it's the Thursday before the 2nd. So check that out. And I don't know if I ever addressed it on the podcast, but my Columbus, Ohio date got canceled. And... not by me. The venue itself closed down out of nowhere. That show was almost sold out, and it just closed down out of nowhere. I love Columbus. I've been coming to Columbus for a long time, and it really bums me out that it closed down. Get to the table still in my head. Here's something that I wanted to talk about. I always think about this, right? That prices on everything are so expensive, right? Everything's so expensive. And there's some things we can avoid, right? Like, or there's some things that we can't avoid, right? Like, we have to go buy groceries. So if they just raise the price of groceries, there's nothing we can do about it. If they just raise all our power bills, there's nothing we can do about it. If they just raise the cost of water, there's really nothing we can do about it. But I was thinking, there is certain things we can do. Like when I go to the airport, and this is not just about prices. This is just about total garbage. I'm in there and I'm like, I'm hungry. I'd really like to eat food. And then I walk. Now, Nashville, there's some airports that are good. Nashville has a good airport. Minneapolis has a good airport. Denver has a good airport. There are some good ones, and I'm missing some, where they have good food. But for the most part, you go to these airports, and it's all total garbage. And I think, oh, yeah, they're not really giving us any choices here. And then you go, and it's also very expensive. The Detroit airport I actually really liked. I ate at a Chili's and had a chicken salad. It was pretty good, but very pricey. And I thought, what do we do? We don't have a choice. We're trapped in the airport. And then I realized we all have a choice, but we don't utilize our power as a society. All we have to do is not buy it. If nobody bought the food in the airport, they would be forced to change it or just shut down and we would have no options. But it's like, it's all bad. It's all like disgusting and not good. Actually, the Chili's at the Detroit airport was good and my waitress was very friendly and I enjoyed it. But it's like, for the most part, nobody's nice to you. The food's not good. And yet we keep eating it because it's our only option. But if we just stopped eating, like McDonald's, for instance, I read that McDonald's is like, we're going to have to lower our prices. And why? Because people stop coming there. Cracker Barrel. I don't know what happened with Cracker Barrel, really. I don't know. I'm not convinced that they just didn't fool us into going, all right, we heard your voices. We're sticking to the way it always was, just so we'll go back thinking that we won. It makes me feel like Cracker Barrel was losing business, and they go, we'll threaten to change everything. People will get mad, and then they'll come back. And I don't know. That could be too deep. Somebody told me the campfire menu that I was in a commercial for in Cracker Barrel. They said they went to Cracker Barrel and ordered that. And the Cracker Barrel staff was like, it's going to take like an hour for us to make that. So apparently a lot of these Cracker Barrels, they weren't even ready to do it. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's true. But I just thought if we utilized our power for these things, we could dominate and we could make things cheaper. It's like because they talk about Vegas being so expensive, and this is what I wrote. All we have to do if we want prices to go down in Vegas for football games, baseball games, concerts, is just quit going. We have all the power, we just don't exercise it. Tickets are too high, and hey, I'm a performer, but listen, I'll tell you this, for my shows I always tell people, my management, my agents, I'm always like, I want to keep the prices as low as I can keep them. I do think things have to cost things, right? I have to make money. The venue has to make money. I have management and agents that do things for me that make things possible. They have to make money. But I think you can do all of that without price gouging people. And that's what I think especially sporting events are doing to us. I mean, I had a great time in Auburn, but when we went and bought Auburn gear, it was so expensive. Like, I was like, geez, I just couldn't do this all the time. I've never really bought sports memorabilia for myself, so I was like, it's okay. I just think athletes could make less money. Right, I want them to make money, especially football players, right? These guys are risking their entire futures to play football for us, to entertain us. But they could make less money, and then their tickets could be cheaper. Concessions could be cheaper. And I realized this, like movie theaters. When I was growing up, we used to sneak all our candy into the movie theater because we were like, oh, they're price gouging us in there. But what I learned, at least I think I learned, is that at the movies, they have the Hollywood or the movie studios make all the money off the ticket prices. So the only money the theater makes is off concessions. So that's how they stay in business. So the inflated prices are part of it. It's part of the experience where you're like, okay, we're going to spend it because we want this movie theater to stay open. I do think they could not poison us with the pop with the butter on the popcorn. I think I've had friends that worked at movie theaters and they talk about the butter on the popcorn is just absolute garbage. And that's part of the problem too. It's not all just the prices. It's like the food quality is completely bad. And I think some things we go, hey, we know it's bad, but we love the way it tastes. So, you know, we're in for it. And I think, you know, that is what it is. But not for everything. Let's see what else I wrote. And this is just a bit of a complaint and a rant. And then stadiums. Stadiums are built, and the taxpayers, I feel like this is something I heard. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if this is true, but they say that when a new stadium opens in a city, that like half the money at least is paid for by the taxpayers of that city, and then the owners pay the other half. Why are we paying anything as taxpayers? And they always go, well, this brings a lot of business into the city. Yeah, it brings business into the city for more people to pay taxes on. And I don't know. I just feel like it's like, we're just price gouged at every turn, you know, like all of us in a way that it's like, even on ticket prices, like this happened. Apparently, they passed a law to where there are no hidden fees on tickets. So if you buy tickets to my show, there are no longer any hidden fees. Like say you would buy a ticket for my show, that ticket would be $35. $35 is as cheap as I can get tickets. But then, you know, and then they have more expensive tickets from there. But I'm always like, we got to have those. But now, because they're like, so what you would buy a $35 ticket, and then as you got on along in there, you would find that Ticketmaster added $15 in fees. And you would feel ripped off by it, naturally, but you would see that it was Ticketmaster that had done it. Now, they're no longer hidden fees, but they don't have to say that there's any fee at all. So you go and click on it, and you see my tickets are $50, and you go, whoa, I thought he said he was always going to have $35 tickets available. Well, that $15 fee is still in there. It's just now no longer hidden, and they don't have to say that it's their fee, is what I'm being told. So, and then you go to a football game, an NFL game, and a beer is $10. I just think if we all went to these games, we'd go, you know, we're not going to buy the beer. And I'm sure to some degree, that's all part of it with the stadium too. They're like, well, you know, this is how our business stays open. But I don't know. I just think we have the power to do things. We have the power to lower prices if we exercise them, but it just also feels like we never will collectively exercise that power. And anybody that tries to really rally that will get shut down. And so I'm not trying to rally that. But I'm just saying, as a group, we do have that power. But it does feel like we never will exercise it. Like, I watch a lot of people on the internet, and they'll go, you know, when your picture's getting taken in the airport, you can refuse that. When, if you have TSA PreCheck and you get randomly selected, you can refuse to go through the x-ray machine. And I've done it. I never done it with a picture, but I've done it with the x-ray machine. And, you know, they make a scene out of you. They make you take your belt off. They fill you up pretty good. They get all over your body, and you can refuse, but they really make a spectacle out of you. And it's like, if I flew once a year, I'd do it every time. But I'm flying every weekend. I'm like, I can't go through this every weekend. And sometimes I get randomly selected a lot. So that's my rant on that. I said, I don't know if I ever talked about this, but I said, everything is BS now. You complain about something on the internet and people tell you you're stupid for complaining about it. And this was a Starbucks post I made. Nashville has finally fixed the coffee problem. The old airport in Nashville, same airport, but they really remodeled it during COVID. There used to be one, maybe two Starbucks in that whole airport. And that was the only place to get coffee, were those two Starbucks. So you would show up in the morning for your flight. And I always show, I'm like a 2 hour early for my flight guy. So that gives me, if I get through TSA with no problems, but let's say it's 10 minutes with TSA and then the flight boards 30 minutes. That means I've still got an hour and 20 minutes before my flight boards. Sometimes I would spend 45 to 50 minutes in line just to get a black coffee. Now, the Nashville airport has coffee everywhere. I really love the Nashville airport. We have a spot there where you can get Philly cheesesteaks, probably terrible ingredients, but I like the way they taste. We have a smash burger that I like. I've read it's terrible ingredients, but I like the way it tastes. And we have a lot of coffee options. We have Hattie B's. We have, I don't know, another hot chicken spot. And I feel good about what we got going on in there. I really like it. But I was in Vegas at the airport, and they just had a Starbucks. And they had two coffee spots, but the lines were both a mile long. So I waited in this really long line just for a black coffee. And then, you know, it takes me 2 seconds to get my coffee when I order. But I had to wait behind everybody getting all these crazy orders. And another thing that really holds it down is the barista also has to get the food. And everything at Starbucks, all the food is cardboard garbage. But people are hungry. They're probably hungry and hungover. And they're like, this is my only option. I'm just going to eat this heated up cardboard. And I get it. I get it. But it's not good. Starbucks food is the worst food on the planet. It makes me feel so bad. But I like a Starbucks coffee, especially when it's the only option. And I posted that online, that Starbucks should have an express lane for people just getting black coffee. And apparently there is an app that you can order early on and have your drink there when you arrive. And I did not know that. I will look into that. But people really got fired up at me. They were like, just make your own coffee at home, idiot. And I think more people were fired up at me about the Starbucks post than they were about my Jesus post. I thought my Jesus post would really get people fired up. I was actually pretty nervous about it. And it was overwhelmingly positive, which made me very happy. It was probably my most viewed, most liked, most retweeted post ever. I see people how I see now how people could get into riding this wave of talking about Jesus just for clout on the internet. I see how you could do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to use Jesus for clout, but I see how people could do it now. I thought I'd get all this pushback, and I actually got a lot of positive reinforcement. I was like, oh, okay, well, I appreciate it, guys. But people got mad at me about the Starbucks thing. I don't know if they were mad, but it was a fun day of tweeting. And I do make my own coffee at home. I'm told that coffee is the most pesticide sprayed thing just about of anything. It is so bad how much pesticides they put on it. So you should always buy organic coffee. And I do. At home, I always try to buy organic coffee. I buy beans. Or listen, it's like if you go to the grocery store and you look at regular coffee versus organic coffee is more expensive, especially if you're used to buying a big tub of Folgers. You're going to look at organic coffee and go, well, that's not worth it. But if you're just making coffee at home every day, you pay $15 a bag for this coffee and you make it every day. I bet this bag would last you 2 weeks if you made it every day. So that's $30 a month on coffee you're spending. If you go to Starbucks and buy a coffee every day, just a regular coffee, it's about $3. The $3 in 7 days is $21. So that's $42 a month in coffee. And I'm just guesstimating. This is all guesstimations here. You're going to end up spending $10 less for the organic, and it's not going to rot your gut in the same way. And you're going to be getting more than one cup of coffee. I'm talking about, you know, a pot here that you would make for you and your wife. So if you say you and your wife are drinking this coffee, then you got to double what you're buying at Starbucks. So now you're at $80 a month as opposed to $30. And I think that you're going to feel better. And you're going to like the way the coffee tastes better. And so I'm all about it. But when I'm at the airport, there are no options. I've looked into various things. Sometimes I'll take my own teas and I'll make them at the thing. I was part of the Admiral's Lounge for American Airlines for a long time. I justified the cost of the Admiral's Lounge just based on the money I was saving on food and coffee. But then I got into direct flights. If you fly a lot, I want to tell you about this app. This is not an ad, but it's an app called Skyscanner. Get the app. It's free. Every flight I do now, I type into the app and it tells me where the direct flights are and if they're available. And I don't pay attention to the price because the price is usually wrong. But I look at the directs and then I go back into my own airline apps to book my flights. It's the best app I've ever had. And once I got that, I started finding all the direct flights and I stopped flying American every time. So I was barely using the lounge. And the last time I tried to check in, they said my lounge had expired. And I was like, wow, a year really flew by. A lot of people, this is a conspiracy, a lot of people are saying that the days seem shorter and the time seems shorter. I agree that time seems to be flying by because I went to this Admiral's Lounge and they go, oh, you expired last month. And in my head, I go, I just renewed this. I just renewed it. But I just decided I'm not going to renew it because it's not worth it. I'm barely flying American Airlines now. But it just, and people tied this into the end of days where it says that, you know, something about the days, Matthew 24, something about the days being shorter, you know, to save the elect, the Christians. And I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that has anything to do with that, but it does. Or if it's just that I'm older. People always said the older you get, the more it seems like time flies by. But it just seems like it is zipping, just whipping by. Like, I was so blown away when they said my Admiral's Lounge had expired. I was like, what? It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I've been not reading my Bible as much as I should, but I have been trying to read it. And I have read it, you know, I read it some. I've been exercising in my hotel rooms. Big fan of that. I don't know I still wanted to talk about Office Depot. I forgot that. That's what I wanted this podcast to be about. Now I've done a whole podcast and I didn't talk about Office Depot. Next week, that's what I want to do. I want to talk about Office Depot and how, and I want to just tell stories. I just want to tell some stories. I also think NFL's rigged. We had Jay Flake on the Nate Land podcast yesterday, if you watched it. I don't know if everybody that watches my podcast watches Nate Land. I assume not, but maybe. Jay Flake is a comic here in Nashville, but he's also a local referee, and we talked a bit about refereeing. But I think sports is rigged, and I am the least invested in sports this year than I've been in a long time. This year, it's like I just don't care. Now, I know that people in Buffalo love the Bills. It's Bills country. They love the Bills. But I was boarding with Southwest in Buffalo, and the lady boarding, she goes, "I'm going to get you on this plane soon. I know you all want to get on there and watch this game." And I just thought, what? We all want to get on there and watch the game. I'm not even thinking about football. I'm thinking about the country collapsing and us slipping into a depression. I'm not even thinking about the game. It just seems wild to me. Well, listen, I hope this podcast was good. I hope you liked it. I love doing the podcast. I'm excited about it every week. I don't always have things to talk about, but I'm excited to talk about it every week. I'm excited to get on here and share things. I hope you watched the Kill Tony episode. Some people said that they didn't like that I was up in that like that, but you know, I feel like you got to go into these places and you got to try to spread a little goodness. As I was going into it, I thought maybe I'll just get dirty. I'll slip into old Dusty and I'll get dirty with it. I'll say wild things. But when I was in there, I was like, nah, maybe I'll go in there and just roast some people. But then I was like, nah, that's not who I am. I'm not trying to roast people that are just on here trying to do a little something for themselves. Maybe if I did, maybe we would have got more views and those people would be helped more. But I'm not into that. I just was into having a good time. Who is the comic that you think is the greatest of all time? Who do you think? Don't say me. I appreciate it, but don't say me. Who do you think it is, though? I do have four albums. I can't get one on Spotify. Working Man, apparently Spotify will not let you submit to Spotify if you have tracks less than a minute long. And I didn't realize this. So my intro and my outro are less than a minute, but it's the only one less than a minute. The only two less than a minute. I'm so bummed about it. I don't know what to do. I will dig into it at some point and see what I can do. But I have five albums, including Wet Heat. It's not an album yet. It's a special. I have five, though. And I think they're all good. I think they're all top-notch. But I'm not including myself on it. That would be insane. It would be absolutely insane if my friend goes, "Who's the greatest comic of all time?" And I go, "Me," because it is insane. Daniel Tosh, I forgot to mention him. He has two really good album and a good special. Incredible comedian. There's so many. The list goes on and on. It's unbelievable how many great comics there are. There's so many funny comics. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We're having a good time. Thank you.